Our first scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 through 10. The desert and the dry land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. They will burst into bloom and rejoice with joy and singing. They will receive the glory of Lebanon, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the Lord's glory, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and support the unsteady knees. Say to those who are panicking, be strong, don't fear. Here's your God, coming with vengeance, with divine retribution. God will come to save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be open and the ears of the deaf will be cleared. Then the lame will leap like the deer and the tongue of the speechless will sing. Waters will spring up in the desert and streams in the wilderness. The burning sand will become a pool and the thirsty ground fountains of water. The jackal's habitat a pasture. Grass will become reeds and rushes. A highway will be there. It will be called the Holy Way. The unclean won't travel on it, but it will be for those walking on that way. Even fools won't get lost on it. No lion will be there, and no predator will go up on it. None of these will be there. Only the redeemed will walk on it. The Lord's ransomed ones will return and enter Zion with singing, with everlasting joy upon their heads. Happiness and joy will overwhelm them. Grief and groaning will flee away. Then from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 2 through 11. Now when John heard in prison about the things Jesus was doing, he sent word by his disciples to Jesus asking, are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? Jesus responded, go report to John what you hear and see. Those who were blind are able to see. Those who were crippled are walking. People with skin diseases are cleansed. Those who were deaf now hear. Those who were dead are raised up. The poor have good news proclaimed to them. Happy are those who don't stumble and fall because of me. When John's disciples had gone, Jesus spoke to the crowds about John. What did you go out to the wilderness to see? A man dressed in refined clothes? Look, those who wear refined clothes are in royal palaces. What did you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. He is the one of whom it is written, look, I am sending my messenger before you, who will prepare your way before you. I assure you that no one who has ever been born is greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And finally, from the letter of James. Therefore, brothers and sisters, you must be patient as you wait for the coming of the Lord. Consider the farmer who waits patiently for the coming of rain in the fall and spring, looking forward to the precious fruit of the earth. You also must wait patiently, strengthening your resolve, because the coming of the Lord is near. Don't complain about each other, brothers and sisters, so that you won't be judged. Look, the judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of patient resolve and steadfastness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, waiting is not something that is a highly prized ability in this country. We are constantly trying to figure out ways to not have to wait on anything. We can bank online at any time we want to. We don't even have to go by the bank to drop off a check or deposit it. We can just take a picture of it and send it in. We don't have to worry about being able to get supplies because at some point, at some place, there is always a store open. It is very rare to find a time when all the stores are closed. We're able to find gasoline and lodging at any time of the day or night. We're able to find hot food at any time of the day or night. We rely on stores that say that they are 24 hours available, and we get upset when things aren't available all the time. We have news available all the time. We have weather available to us all the time. We are not people who like to wait. And yet waiting is something that is so integral to being a follower of God. The people of God were constantly being called to go to a certain point, and then at that point they would wait. Not in a mean way, but God is on a need-to-know basis, and most of the time we do not need to know. We would argue with that frequently. We frequently think that we desperately we need to know. We need to know what's going to happen next and where things are going. We have a hard time living in the moment. The Israelites who wandered around. I got water. Thanks. Sorry, my throat's dry today. The Israelites who wandered around in the wilderness were constantly wondering why it was that they were there, why it was that they hadn't gotten to the promised land, and wasn't this place so awful and the future that they didn't know about so horrible that it would really be better to just go back to Egypt and die? Sometimes we ourselves think that. The future is so scary and it's so far away and it can't get here fast enough. Advent and Christmas is one of those times when we are called to wait in so many different ways. We are called to wait for the coming of Christ. And I know that we can remember times as little children when we were called to wait to open presents. Remember those times. Actually, it's not just children. We used to have to mark the gifts under the tree that were for my father that happened to be breakable. So that he wouldn't shake them to figure out what they were. My mom got really good at hiding presents, so good at hiding presents that sometimes we didn't find them for several years. In fact, after her death, when we were going through several things, we found quite a few Christmas presents that were wrapped, and we had no idea for whom they were for, or what they were, or anything like that. My mom was really good at hiding presents so that we would not find them and look at them ahead of time. And it was always so hard to wait. I hear about families who have a tradition of maybe opening one present on Christmas Eve or opening presents right when you get them rather than waiting to that time to open them. And there are also people who can't stand for you to wait. They're so excited about the gift that they have to give you that they can't stand to wait for you to open it. You have to open it right then. We have trouble waiting. The worst times are when we are stuck in traffic or waiting in the line in the grocery store or when we are in the hospital waiting for a surgery to be over or for a test result to come back. We don't like waiting. We really don't. And yet, for us as followers of Christ, waiting is a spiritual exercise. It's one in which we are brought closer to God by recognizing that we are not in control, that God holds the future. And that we do not. It's a time when we sit and or are active in our daily lives and are still waiting upon the Lord to know what is next. Think of the early Christians. They were so sure that Christ was going to come back within their lifetime. And as they got older and older, you have to wonder if they started to doubt more or if they started to get more desperate that they wouldn't live long enough to see it happen. I often wonder what were their thoughts. Did they continue on with their daily lives or did they stop doing what they were doing? Sort of like the groups of people that sometimes sell everything they own and go up to a mountaintop because they're sure that the world is going to end on a certain day. You hear a lot about that beforehand, but I've never heard an interview of one of them the day after the world didn't end. Usually they're not really excited to talk to the public at that point, but it would be interesting to know what they feel, not to make fun of them, but just to think about the fact that they thought that their waiting was over. We as Christians today, after 2,000 years, are in a perpetual state of waiting in many ways. We have this understanding that Christ will come again, but it doesn't seem like it'll be tomorrow. After all, it wasn't yesterday. It wasn't all those days beforehand. So it's probably going to be a long time from now, is what we usually think. We have plenty of time to get things ready and worry about that tomorrow. And yet we are called to constantly be in a state of waiting. It's exhausting. Waiting is really tiring. It's boring usually, especially if you're stuck in one place and you're having to just sit there and you don't have things to distract you. I sometimes wonder if that was one of the blessings that my dad received from losing his leg, is that frequently he does not ever have to wait in line, and that man cannot stand to wait in line. It was always really great when we would go on vacation, because if we went to Disney or if we went to see historic sites or whatever, we usually didn't have to wait in line. We might have to wait just a little bit, but we didn't have to wait in the line. And then we got to go around and get on things. I don't know what I'm going to do when I have to go to these places as an adult, because I'm not going to get to jump ahead in line. I also remember times as a teenager when Dad would put me in the line and he would continue rolling around doing whatever he was doing just so he wouldn't have to stand in the line. We don't like it. We don't like to wait. We feel confined, as if we can't do something else or what needs to be done. We feel stuck a lot of times when we're waiting. Stuck that we can't move forward because we don't have the answers, or we don't have the information, or we don't have the path that we need. Several years ago, I had this feeling for more than 6 months that God was calling me to something different, but I had no idea what it was or where it was or if it was where I was or someplace else or anything. I felt like I was constantly about from here to Ron, away from the edge of a cliff. And I knew I was getting close to the edge, but I could not see anything beyond that. For me, that's what spiritual waiting feels like. You know that something's coming, but it's not clear yet. And yet you're still called to be in that waiting time. And it was so frustrating, I remember, because I just want, it's like, come on, can we just get it done? I'm ready, let's move along. But waiting is something that's important. Think of how much the Israelites changed by their time of waiting 40 years in the wilderness. They got to the point where they relied completely on God for their every need, for water, for food, for shelter, for guidance, for light at night. They came to that point, and then they were ready to go into the promised land. Think of the various people, including Christ, who went out for 40 days and 40 nights fasting, waiting till that time when it was time for their next step, when it was time for them to grow closer to God or to recognize what their new ministry was going to be. We are called to wait for Christ. Not only during this Advent season when we can come to Christmas Day and say, "Woo, that's over with, yay, back to normal life." But we are called to constantly be waiting. And it can be extremely frustrating, but we must remember that it is a waiting that is active. Just when the farmer is waiting for the rains to come or for the plants to grow, doesn't mean that the farmer is sitting back doing nothing. The farmer is very busy, constantly checking on things, picking weeds, making sure other things are okay, and that it is that the farm is prepared for that time when the rains do come. And trusting that God will eventually bring rain. And that God will bring enough rain. And that if we have too much, it will be okay. That it will even out. We have to trust that God is there. Having my first call, being in an especially rural farming community where people farmed and fished and they relied on the ebb and flow of nature to make their living, there seemed to be an almost instantaneous understanding when I said we are called to wait and trust in the Lord, because they were used to doing that every day. But I think we've gotten out of that habit a lot of times, living in an instantaneous society. I remember when we got some blueberry bushes, because Greer loves blueberries, and we planted the blueberry bushes, you know, just little twigs, basically. And we planted them, and then within 2 weeks, she was like, "Where are the blueberries?" And I'm like, "It'll probably be another couple of years before they get there." Or an apple tree. We planted an apple tree, and you usually have to wait several years. And then even when you get that first apple, it's so heavy, it'll break the branch. So you have to cut it off before it gets too big so that the tree can continue to grow. It's hard to wait. We know how good certain fruits taste, but they really only taste that good when they're in season and not when they're out of season. Fresh tomatoes from the garden always taste so much better than the ones you buy in the store. We are called to wait, and in that waiting, when the time is right, when the fruit is ripe, we receive such a great blessing. We are called to wait. To wait with excitement and anticipation, not with drudgery. To wait being involved in what needs to be taken care of so that when the time comes, all will be prepared. To not feel like we are stuck in our waiting, but that God is doing amazing things during that time so that we will be able to experience all the blessings that God has for us when we get to that place. We might feel ourselves that we are in a wilderness time. It certainly seems that way when we turn on the news. I can't imagine what it was like for the Israelites as they wandered around eating manna and quail day in and day out. You've got to wonder if they were like, "Manna again? I had that last night. Ugh, can't we at least get, you know, like some other flavor?" But during all that time, they finally got to the place where they were ready to go into the promised land, the land of milk and honey, the land where things were so different and God blessed them in so many ways. But that wouldn't have been as sweet a blessing, or they wouldn't have been able to even accept that blessing if they hadn't gone through that time of waiting. And so I encourage you, as we finish out this waiting of Advent, and as you go through your day, that you see your times of waiting as opportunities, not punishments. That you maybe even seek out times of waiting so that you can interact with other people in line, or you can give a kind word to the cashier or teller at the bank, so that you can be there for a friend or family member who is in need, showing that your waiting shows that you care. So that when Christ does come again, we will be ready and excited and fully able to accept the blessing that God has in store for us. Amen.